It's News Radio Pensacola. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Can't talk yet, right? You gotta let it play. All right, 510 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's great to have you with us on this Thursday morning. The moon again. I don't know why I'm just captivated this week. It's the visibility of Jupiter and Venus is amazing, and then the moon is just a little red crescent on the very low on the horizon right now. It's kind of cool if you have a chance to stick your head out and look to the east, and you may not see, depending on where you are, you may not see the moon. It's so low on the horizon, but if you can get to a place where you can see it, it's kind of cool looking. Did you get a letter telling you that your property was on the chopping block for eminent domain in Santa Rosa County? Apparently, I'm always amazed by the creativity of scurrilous people. You know, the people who find a way to kind of be predators, you know, and misrepresent things. And then thank goodness we have a good county administration that clarifies what's actually going on here. You might have gotten a letter that said, you know, your property is being considered for eminent domain in connection with the Berry Hill project. No, it's not. Not yet. We're nowhere close to all of that. So I guess a bunch of people got these letters. And it's understandable that if you get this letter, then, you know, you'd be concerned. Why? Why? What are you taking my property away? Okay. So Santa Rosa County got wind of this, as they did, and they sent out kind of a clarification. And they said, first of all, the Chemukla Highway project is currently in PD&E. That's design. That's very, very, very early, okay? This phase is focused solely on evaluating potential improvements and environmental considerations and public input. This is a long way from here to where you'd actually be buying people's property or, in the very, very last resort, taking it through eminent domain. No right-of-way acquisition decisions have been made and right-of-way not been identified, meaning that whatever the letter says is bunk. If in the future it is determined that additional right-of-way is necessary, and that's, they're saying they're not even sure, it depends, right, on what the design comes back with and environmental concerns, the county will work directly with affected property owners, which means they're going to come to you and say, hey, we're trying to build a road here and do some expansion projects. Would you be willing to sell? Yes. Okay, cool. No. Well, okay, are you sure? Well, you know, how much would it be? And, you know, okay. Yeah, I mean, there's a process, right? And any acquisition would follow a fair market appraisal process, and property owners will be treated respectfully and fairly in accordance with state and federal guidelines, as is the case when the government is taking people's property. There are rules, lots of rules. Future phases of the project are contingent on further planning, public involvement, and the securing of appropriate funding. Be cautious of unsolicited legal communications. There you go. See, it's not quite as bad as, dear sir or madam, I am a displaced Nigerian national whose fortunes are currently tied up in litigation, and all I need to release the millions and millions of dollars in my family's fortune is but a few paltry $100 from you to cover legal fees and wire transfers. That's what this feels like to me. It's just scuzzy. You know, hey, because it's apparently been sent out by somebody who's hoping that they can get in early on making a buck on the fear that people have about their property being taken through eminent domain. Anyway, be cautious of unsolicited legal communications. Property owners are urged to exercise caution if they receive unsolicited letters from attorneys suggesting imminent property acquisition. Just as a judgment matter, they probably shouldn't have used imminent when they were talking about eminent domain, just because people get confused about the difference between them. Anyway, these letters, one's an E, one's an I. That's the difference, right? These letters are not based on current project facts and are not sanctioned or supported by Santa Rosa County. And then it's got a link to the, or it's got a, you know, you can go here to find out more information about the project, which is very, very early on. Meanwhile, FPL caves-ish. It's about a 30% reduction. And my position on this had been, look, I know people were very worked up and very upset, and how dare they? The cost of everything is going up, and it didn't seem like a massive increase to me. And, I'm trying to save a buck as much as everybody is. I don't want to give up extra money. Free parking guy, right? So it just seemed to me like it was an increase that wasn't this huge thing that people were worried about. The plan had been average 1,000 watt user per household was going to be $143 now. Next year, $147. The year after that, $148. The year after that, $150. If you round up, it's $93. And then 2029, $152. So over the course of 4 years, it was going to go up $8 a month, which is $96 a year, which isn't nothing, but it's not pitchfork and torch time to me. Okay, to me. Instead, now the increase is going to be significantly less, and it kind of depends on, where you are. But for us here in Northwest Florida, it's going to go from the current $143.60 to $142.66. It was going to go down $1 a month. Woohoo! We can all get rich on $12 a year. Right? Then it's going to go to $143.05, so it's still going to be lower than it is now by about 50 cents. Then it's going to go to $146.24 in 2028. So then a $3 a month jump is, something. That's about $3 more than it is now. And then to $148 in December of 2029, which is $3 lower than what the original plan had been and is $5 more a month than what we're paying right now. So it's a reduction. I mean, this is a substantial reduction in what they're asking for. It's not final yet, but that is the plan. They kind of, in talking with the public and thinking about getting through the various layers of approval for this, they're not, they're not asking for it all, at least not anymore. Another story, Florida, a very interesting story. Marijuana is illegal at the federal level. But in the state of Florida, of course, you have medical marijuana, which you might say is soft. Everybody uses it, right? Like, how hard is it to get a medical marijuana permit if you want to get one? My head. My aches. My memory. I feel like I've got a little glaucoma. I obviously do not have one, but a lot of people do. So the problem is that because marijuana is still a scheduled drug at the federal level, there's the idea that if you are a drug user, as in a medical marijuana user, you shouldn't be allowed to have a gun. And the lawsuit says that the federal prohibitions forbid Floridians from possessing or purchasing a firearm based entirely on the fact that they're law-abiding medical marijuana patients, because when you go to fill out your background check, you have to check some boxes. So the question brought by somebody who was denied the ability to buy a gun, and also like Gun Owners of America, is that this is wrong. You should not be depriving people of their Second Amendment rights on the basis of them consuming a medicine, right? If you're going to believe it's medical marijuana, and it is, then it's a medicine, and people shouldn't be deprived their right to own a gun on the basis of a medicine. So Joe Biden's administration had argued that gun restrictions like this are fair, justified, and warranted because, allowing people who are druggies, basically, would endanger themselves or others. And there's a longstanding habit of restricting access to guns for people who are dangerous to the community. That's one of the few ways in which you can actually restrict gun ownership. And that, that's generally been upheld, that people who are a threat to themselves or others should not be allowed to own and obviously therefore to misuse firearms. It's a limited restriction, they argued. It only applies to individuals engaged in the regular and ongoing use of illegal drugs. Again, illegal at the federal level, not illegal in Florida if you have a license. And so it's within that framework. And originally, this had been upheld. But now a 3-judge panel, 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, says no. Interestingly, then Florida Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried and medical marijuana patients had filed the lawsuit challenging these prohibitions. So this is a Democrat-originated lawsuit. I actually agree with the Democrats on this one. I don't think that you should be depriving people of their ability to purchase or own a gun on the basis of their particularly medical use of marijuana. And honestly, even recreational use of marijuana. because, and I'm not making the equivocation between alcohol and marijuana, but they are somewhat similar enough in their effects that this would be akin to if the state of Florida had legal alcohol and the federal government said, you know, the 18th Amendment was still in place. No, you can't have alcohol. And, you know, this would mean that if you drink beer, you can't have a gun. How would you feel about that? Well, that would be wrong because lots of people, half, as we talked about yesterday, half of the people in the country drink alcohol. And therefore, half of the people in the country wouldn't be allowed to have access to a firearm. Now, there are already rules, and people don't know this, but you're not allowed to possess a gun, not possess like as in own, but like carry on your person when you're drunk. A lot of people don't realize that, but you are, it's illegal to have a gun in your possession when you're drunk. It's just one of the rules, which is a good rule. Drunk people shouldn't have guns, okay? But what about a person who simply consumes alcohol? Or a person who's, you know, drunk in their living room and the gun's in the bedroom? Well, I mean, that's fine. Right? Because there's no practical way to be like, well, you got to get rid of your gun temporarily while you're drunk. Doesn't make sense. Okay, so similarly for marijuana. If you use it to get high, you shouldn't have a gun while you're high. Duh. But if you use it to get high and you have a gun in the other room for when you are no longer high, I mean, okay. So, interestingly, this decision, this is not the final say on the matter, but this decision would allow people who merely have medical marijuana cards, for example, to be able to purchase guns or to own guns. And, I mean, I'm fine with punishing them if they have a gun in their possession while they're high. Not fine with preventing them from owning them entirely. So I agree with this. And I agree with the Democrats bringing this lawsuit. And for anybody who's a gun advocate, a gun rights advocate, I would think you would be too. 437-1621, one of the plaintiffs, by the way, in this case, Neil Franklin, retired law enforcement officer who owns a gun and wants to become a medical marijuana patient and is concerned, you know, that I won't be able because, you know, it's already happened with other people in this lawsuit. They were medical marijuana users, filled out a federal form, and the gun stores refused to sell to the firearms after they answered yes to the unlawful user of or addicted to marijuana or any other controlled substance checkbox on the federal firearms application. So, it's an interesting case to me because the country is sort of in flux over what we want to think about marijuana. I am not a fan of marijuana or of its decriminalization, but this in particular strikes me as an inappropriate restriction on people's fundamental right to self-defense, home defense, protect their family, right to defend against tyranny and all the other things that come with the Second Amendment. 521 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community. This summer, get beach time and ways to help make sure your guests don't miss a thing. Tomorrow at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
The Florida Bright Futures Scholarship isn't just about covering tuition. It can help you pursue your dreams at any Florida State University, community college, or eligible trade school. Whether you want to become a teacher, study engineering, learn a skilled trade, or start your own business, Bright Futures can help you achieve your goals. The best part? It's funded by the Florida Lottery, so when people play, students win. Visit floridabrightfutures.gov to learn more about your options, check your eligibility, and start your application. Your bright future starts here.
This message is brought to you by the Florida Lottery and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Blackley throws it up near sideline for the end zone. Picked off! Yeah! Four-man rush. Mendoza stepping up. He goes down.
House call! Touchdown, Florida State! Touchdown, FSU!
Florida State football opens the 2025 season on August 30th by hosting Alabama in an early season ACC-SEC matchup.
FSU versus Alabama, Saturday at 12:30 p.m. on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What is that?
Euthanasia Day at the Geriatrics Hospital. You do it every year.
There's something out there, I can hear it calling. I wanna hold it, but I'm moving too fast.
Where's the fire?
Everybody's always asking me, where is it, baby? Doesn't anybody
know? All right, PJ, I'm going to let you take a stab at what decade that song was released in.
80s?
There you go. It's got that sound. We had set to record a movie the other day, and we started watching it, and it was clear from the movie itself that it was not the 2022 vintage that the DVR menu had advertised. And we're both like, that's at best early 90s. And, you know, we wound up not watching. We're like, this is probably not what we want. But yeah, there's a certain sound. But I love that song. It's by Tim Feehan. It's Where's the Fire? And it's from a movie I'm sure four of you have ever heard of called The Wraith, with Charlie Sheen, of all people, is a, you know, resurrected victim of a murder who comes back driving the sports car to terrorize the local bullies in town. I don't know. It's a crazy movie. And of course, before that, the clip is from one of my all-time favorite super campy sci-fi movies, Death Race 2000, where David Carradine gets offered up the... Have you ever seen Death Race? You've probably seen the newer one, the Death Race newer movies, no?
Neither of them.
Neither. Okay. The premise of the movie is a cross-country race where they score points by killing people with their cars. And then the fans of Frankenstein, they bring out the old people in the wheelchairs in the middle of the road, and then instead of taking them as the easy scores, he goes through the side and kills all the interns and the nurses and stuff. I mean, it's sick, but it's funny. 526 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Good morning, Andrew. If I can get to the right position on my screen here, I can't even find the mouse cursor. There we go.
You know what you need? You need a mouse jiggler.
What's a mouse jiggler do?
Mouse jiggler is a word that's been added to the Cambridge Dictionary, among many other words that have been added this year.
Right, right.
A mouse jiggler, this is one of the most, I think it's used wrong, but it's because when people were working remotely, if they weren't doing anything at their desk, it would sort of notify the boss. But a mouse jiggler is a device you use to make your mouse move so that your screen thinks that you're still active. I think mouse jiggler is a great term for a person who doesn't do enough work when working remotely. All they are is a mouse jiggler. I mean, I think that's how the term ought to be used. But
yeah,
either way,
I see
so
that.
Go on.
Well, I'm not sure a mouse jiggler would help in my particular situation.
It sounds vaguely like something you use fishing or maybe in weird dates. Just anyway.
Yeah.
So go on.
I'm just not sure a mouse jiggler is appropriate for work. That's,
yeah, right.
But Hurricane Aaron is moving north about 200 miles off of the North Carolina coast, bringing storm surge warnings and tropical storm conditions to the Outer Banks today. The Category 2 storm now packs winds at over 100 miles an hour.
You know, one of the weirdest, we have all these, radar services that we use, you know, and look at and whatever. If you didn't know it was there, you wouldn't know it's there because most of the radar, it looks offshore only so far. So you can't see Aaron really on a lot of the, like, general radars that we look at.
Right.
You have to be looking for it and look at one that covers that area. It kind of falls in a gap, right? It's just kind of a weird thing, so.
A judge denying the Justice Department's request to unseal grand jury records from Jeffrey Epstein's case, keeping evidence sealed despite renewed public interest. The DOJ recently confirmed that Epstein died by suicide and said no client list exists.
Jeez, you continue to talk about this. It's a Democrat plot. God, why do you even bring it up?
I don't know. I don't know why I do anything.
So
I do.
Crazy.
Governor Kathy Hochul. Sorry about that. Is pledging to counter Texas Republicans' new congressional map, boosting GOP seats, calling it a desperate power grab. Though New York law blocks mid-decade redistricting, Hochul says she'll confront the influence head-on. California is also looking at doing some redistricting in their state.
Yeah. Again, we've talked about this before, but it's such a weird story because Congress is the one that's responsible for creating the district-based congressional elections. And over time, what's happened is that some states, and not all, have abused the power to draw districts for political gain in order to advantage either the Democrats or the Republicans, who's ever in power. And so when the Texas Republicans wanted to redraw their map and have now redrawn their map to add five seats, basically, based on who's likely to vote for whom, the Democrats in California, New York, and Illinois pitched a fit, and then we had the fleeing to Illinois. Illinois is one of the worst gerrymandered states in the entire nation. It's crazy. It's hilarious that they ran away to one of the worst examples of gerrymandering. But, you know, and of course in Florida we have some of this as well, but it's not nearly as bad as California and Illinois. But we're kind of in a nuclear arms race on gerrymandering where every state is now seeing that in order to fight what they're doing, we need to do this. And in order to fight what they're doing, they need to do that. And there's no end in sight for this. It's a question. It's a race to the bottom of who can be the worst and abuse the system the worst. And it's all bad. Like, you're doing something that is deliberately avoiding people's representation. And you may not know all your history about the United States, but you may recall that there was a concept of no taxation without representation, and we are running in that direction right now.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Hurricane Erin is a monster. Luckily, it will not slam into this mainland, but dangerous rip currents are creating issues at beaches along parts of the East Coast.
Current wave heights 18 feet off the coast of North Carolina. Myrtle Beach, 10 feet there, 16 feet off the Delmarva. So this is a big deal.
Fox's senior meteorologist Janice Dean, Vice President J.D. Vance on Fox's The Ingram Angle with a message for Elon Musk, the world's richest man.
My advice to Elon would be try to fix the Republican Party. Try to push it in your own way. Disagree with me all you want. Disagree with the President of the United States, but don't pretend that you can make a big difference with a third party.
Wall Street Journal reporting Musk is pausing plans to start a third party and another big Russian missile strike in Ukraine. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. 75 right now. We've got partly cloudy skies in Pensacola. Pensacola police have now arrested the teenager they say was following young women around in downtown Pensacola on a sexual battery charge. The suspect was identified as 17-year-old Tyree Dorch. PPD says that teen entered a woman's vehicle without her consent while she was parked outside a restaurant on Garden Street last Wednesday. He had reportedly wanted her to drive him to another location. She refused and got out of the car. Police say Dorch left the vehicle and fled the scene at that time. PPD released a photo of the teen yesterday in an attempt to identify him. He was arrested later on Wednesday afternoon. Former State Representative Dave Merzen has been chosen as the new town administrator in Century. The town council there approving hiring Merzen for the job at their meeting last week. Merzen was recommended by Mayor Ben Boutwell. The council voted to authorize Boutwell to negotiate an employment agreement with Merzen. That agreement goes up for a final vote in September. Merzen currently is working as the director of First Place Partners. They represent economic development in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. Pensacola's mayor announcing two hirings for the city this week. Retired Navy Captain Cliff Collins will be the new Associate City Administrator for Strategic Initiatives, and Adrian Walker promoted from another position in the city to the new Strategic Initiatives Project Officer.
We're trying to modernize what the three leaders of the city, the city administrator and the two deputy and associate, kind of what their roles and responsibilities were. And I think we're running it much more efficiently with communication with our staff and everything else.
Mayor D.C. Reeves, he says both new jobs will coordinate and plan for the city's strategic goals. He says the city has a one-in, one-out approach to hiring and actually has fewer employees now than when he was elected. Now, South Florida could be the center of a redistricting fight here in Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis talking yesterday in Palm Beach County about doing a mid-decade redistricting. He thinks Republicans could pick up seats in South Florida. It appears to be targeting congressional districts held by Democrats Sheila Sheriffless McCormick and Jared Moskowitz. The current map was drawn up just 3 years ago. It includes 28 districts, with 20 held by Republicans. FPL says its latest rate hike request is a win for all of its customers. President and CEO Armando Pimentel announced yesterday that the company has filed a rate hike request with state regulators that's lower than the original request. FPL's original request was its largest rate hike ever, but it says the new request is about $3 billion less. FPL also says bills will be well below the national average if the new rate is approved. Pimentel expects the typical residential customer to see an increase of less than $4 a month next year. The Florida Public Service Commission still has to approve the request. Senator Ashley Moody says she supports President Trump's latest move to fight drug trafficking. Military ships and troops are on their way to Venezuela to confront the threat posed by drug cartels. Senator Moody said yesterday, this is what it looks like to have a president who takes the fentanyl crisis seriously. It's 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be seeing a lovely day today with mostly sunny skies, 30% chance of rain in the afternoon, high near 92. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Thursday, 30% chance of rain, high near 91. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Going into Friday, 40% chance of rain, high near 90 degrees. And by Friday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And thank you, Brooke. It is 75 right now across the area. Our next news at 6. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Meta Platforms said it has paused hiring for its new artificial intelligence division, ending a spending spree that saw it acquire a wave of costly AI researchers and engineers. The pause was first reported by the Wall Street Journal, which said it went into effect last week amid a broader restructuring. Microsoft will soon stop automatically applying discounts to clients that buy licenses of Microsoft 365 productivity software and other cloud products in large quantities. Executive partner Nexus Tech said the change could lead to a price hike of 10% or more. Analysts at UBS said that it's safe to assume that the impact of the pricing change was reflected in Microsoft's most recent guidance. Alibaba said Banma, a smart car supplier that the company backs, will list shares on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. Alibaba owns about 45% of Banma, and the company said it will continue to hold over 30% of its stock. Futures are currently mixed. That's Your Money Now.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida today at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are their dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Good morning, 539 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and yesterday we had a good conversation with Mayor D.C. Reeves about a bunch of stuff. We only wound up getting to about a third of the things I really wanted to talk with him about, but that's my fault, not his. Mayor Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey there, how are you?
Hey, I'm great, I'm great. Let's start with this. You got a couple of new hires. Well, not new hire. Adrian Walker is being promoted, and Captain Clifford Collins is being, he's being given the job that used to be David Forte's, is that right?
That's right. Yeah, I think there was some confusion about that. We've repositioned that job. I think Tim's done a great job of, I mentioned in the press conference yesterday, we're trying to modernize what the three leaders of the city, the city administrator and the two deputy and associate, kind of what their roles and responsibilities were. And I think we're running it much more efficiently with communication with our staff and everything else. So it was really a repositioning of an existing job, but there was some confusion that was somehow a new job we were adding. And we're certainly proud of the fact that we actually have the same number as we talk about property tax increasing and all of these other things that are kind of taking shots across the bow at local governments. We've had the same number of positions since the year before I started. And as a matter of fact, even after the first year, we're down about 10 or 12 positions. So we have stuck to trying to be as efficient as we can with the number of jobs that we have.
So I have one very minor suggestion, because I am a person who not only do I not digest corporate speak very well, my eyes glaze over and I feel like, ugh. And so what is his official title, Captain Collins' official title?
Yeah. So he's still an associate city administrator, which is the important thing, but we are focusing him on strategic initiatives. And what that basically means is, think about we're very proud of the almost 3 years of transformational size projects that we've got either on the docket, in progress. Some, like American Magic, could be done as soon as this November. So those types of projects, I said when I was going to take this job that we were going to get very urgent and get aggressive on and not just, not look at this as a ribbon cutting job, but look at this as you're the CEO of the city, the operator to move it forward. And so from SunTrail to Palafox to all of these things that are going to be big, heavy lifts with complex details and lots of departments internally and externally involved, how do we get them moving? Because you can't wait on just that sitting on the mayor's desk,
right,
with all everything else going on. So instead of us, I'll put it this way, Andrew, before we kind of had this format where one administrator had six departments, another had six, and another had six type of thing. We didn't think that was as efficient as the way we're doing it now, which is the city administrators and the city administrators. And then the deputy and associate are there in support roles to help lead the city, but also do it in specific ways. So Amy Miller's got that role. And then, of course, Cliff will have the same thing.
So
really focused on these initiatives, getting them done.
Yeah, and that's all I'm thinking is, instead of calling them strategic initiatives, just call them projects. Because if you say, yeah, I've got this guy come in and he's going to be my projects manager, oh, I get what that is. But as soon as he's the associate city administrator for strategic initiatives, I'm like, just doesn't. So, he's, because when you explain it, it's very simple.
We were just trying to test your ability to read on.
Yeah,
I know.
By the way, is he an aviator? I don't even know. He worked at NETC, but is he an aviator? Do you know?
He spent the vast majority of his time. I'm grateful to have him, because not only does he have that military experience both on base here multiple times, and in this community, but also at the Pentagon and
right,
in the White House. And he's been in mainly administrative roles in most of his career as a chief of staff,
okay,
as project management, that type of thing. So he's really got perfect experience for this type
I just
role.
Didn't know if he had a call sign, and sounds like probably not if he's not an aviator, but that's okay.
We'll get him on with you in a week or
right,
two.
Hey, I was thinking about recycling. I was listening to your comments about recycling. It's all good news. 6 to 8% contamination rate is amazing. That's absolutely validating of the project of discontinuing, re-educating, offering for a charge. I mean, it's all working. It's amazing. But I did have one thought. You made the comment that if we're right now at, say, 13 or 14% of the households are using recycling, and it's increasing by 100 people every week out of 21,000 households, and the question was, what would you like to get to? And, of course, your answer is we'd like to get to as many as possible as long as they're doing it properly, and that will be the people who opt in. And I got to thinking about this, how if we get enough households doing recycling, and they're doing it well, as in there's a good volume of recyclables, that recyclable material is not going to the landfill. So the city's not having to pay landfill tipping fees. It's going to the MRF, which is cheaper by a lot. And if it's taking away from the volume of trash that we're having to take to the landfill, it would seem like, because the old model for ECUA was that recycling will save us money. Why in the long run wouldn't it become possible to actually pay less if you're recycling, or at least pay not more?
Exactly. I think that therein lies the point. What we were doing, think about what we were doing previously. I when I've done all of the Excel spreadsheets you could ever imagine on this project over the last 2 years, you know, recycling participation by fractions of percentages, you know, 31, 32, 33, that you know, one of the things we looked at was, think about it this way. In the previous iteration, we had 42, let's call it 42,000 trips a week, right? 21,000 for day one it was garbage. And I know a lot of people have forgotten that lately. We only had one day of garbage for generations. And then there was a second trip for mandatory recycling. Mm-hmm. So our crew was picking up 42,000 cans in effect. Let's just say it's that. Well, the reason that we can end up actually cost saving is now we have 21,000 trips one day a week. And then of course the second loop is going to be the number of recyclers. So naturally, we're going to be at, so as of right now, we're at, it would be 2,300, 2,400. Now, those are all over the city. They're not all on the same street. So you're going to still have to cover a lot of the same ground. But those are loops that could be actually completed faster. But like anything else we know in business, there's an economy of scale. If we only had 10 people recycling, but we dedicated an entire crew for it, then it's going to not be very financially efficient.
Right.
The more people that we have doing it on the second day with opt-in, really lets us look at potential cost savings in two places. One is the economy of scale, that we just have more people recycling, more people opting in, and then creating more revenue. But then also on the flip side of that is the efficiency of our labor, right? If we're not doing 21,000 and then 21,000, if we're doing 21,000 and then doing 7,000, 6,000, well, then we should, as responsible stewards of the taxpayer dollar, be able to get more efficient on the labor and operation side, on the depreciation of vehicles, all of that. So that's what we're really looking forward to, is that the fact that we aren't just, instead of going through the motions and going to 21,000 houses that may or may not be recycling, and I'll point out again, we were going to be going from $35 a ton at the MRF to $82 a ton at the MRF, is where we were when we left. So that was going to be about double the cost of what it costs to drop off at garbage. So, you know, people are talking about increases right now. If we had laid down and just said, hey, this is too politically hot for me, I don't want to mess with this, and I let politics get in front of common sense, we would have been forcing enormous increases right now and saying, oh, sorry, there's nothing I can do about it. You know, that's just the way of the world. And so we've had to take this on, and we actually do have the capability with more opt-in to see these prices plateau for a good amount of time and or decrease potentially.
And that's actually, I maybe didn't explain it very well. So hold on just a second, because I want to take another pass at this, because I clearly did not express myself well, and I apologize. All of that makes sense to me. But what I was getting at was, if, let's say, picking up 21,000 cans of, you know, full material, I don't know what the number is, but let's say that takes 100 truck trips to the landfill, okay? But if you can get them to be putting it into the recycling, then you're offsetting, because, A, you're not paying the tipping fees as much, but it's only going to take you 70 truck trips to the landfill, and the other 30 or 40 are going to be done with recycling. That's kind of what I was getting at, is it seems like the theory long term is you really shouldn't have to charge for recycling. It should be a cost savings, not even a break even. I get the having people pay and opt in makes them behave better. I get all that, but that's kind of where I was thinking about it.
Yes, no, absolutely. And again, we're going through the stages of human change, which is, you know, now there's people kicking back saying, well, I used to get twice a week. Now, again, they've forgotten that we only did that for about a year and a half. It's generations we've done it before. But truthfully, what they're noticing is, well, what was it? You know where the rest, if you feel like your can is a little bit full right now, you know where the rest of that trash is? It used to go in the recycling can because we were 50% contaminated.
Yeah.
So you know, have it. Yes, absolutely. And I continue to remind people, if you don't care about recycling and you've got garbage volume, for the same price as opting in, you can have a second black can. So you can have all the volume you want. Yes, picked up on the same day, but you would be able to have that much volume, the exact same volume per week that you would you had previously. So, so again, change causes anxiety and concern, and but I can tell you, we are. I mean, I couldn't be more proud of our citizens and the fact that we have 8% contamination. You had told me that at the beginning that this is where we would start. I would have taken it all day. I would have probably taken 15%. To be honest, and it's the fact that we're at 8,000 pounds so far,
that's really good.
Yeah, is incredible, and so it's a testament to the folks opting in and doing it right and paying attention, and all of our team trying to get the word out there to make sure we're doing it right.
I want to give you a chance to respond to what I think is, I know, is a perception people have. Meredith Reeves leaves, Alex Smith leaves, Clark Merritt leaves, and now Tim Kinsel is leaving after just a year. What does DC have BO? You know, why are so many people leaving? But look, I want to give you a chance to answer that question because I know people have that perception. And even when I said the other day, I think it's exactly what they say it is. Still, people are like, are you sure there's nothing else with Tim? I'm like, I haven't asked him, but I'm pretty sure it's just a great job opportunity. Who can turn down the kind of money Navy Federal is likely to pay?
Exactly. Listen, I've got so much respect for Tim as a friend, not just as a city administrator. I can't tell you how appreciative I am to have him come in the time that he did. And remember, I mean, let's put this in context. I mean, we were certainly fortunate to have somebody of his skill set and stature. And I take it as a big compliment just personally in this job that he would be willing to take this position. And the fact that he had, you know, told our staff that he probably wouldn't have done that or would not have done that with anybody else, I certainly personally take that, you know, as quite a compliment coming from him and everything that he's accomplished. No, this is an opportunity he couldn't pass up. I'm not here to, you know, talk about, you know, what his contract is or isn't with someone else. Right. I just mean, what I can tell you is, any human being with a brain would probably be doing what he's doing. For the sake of his family, and what a great opportunity it is with a great company. We absolutely wish him nothing but the best. But you know, let me address the overall. Look, it's the ebbs and flows of running an administration. I mean, understand a few of the names that you mentioned are people that were hired by the previous administration. You know, I point out all the time, even in conversations about Chief Randall, he worked for this administration more than he worked for the one that hired him. So if you go back and look how many folks we kept in our administration at leadership levels versus what many mayors do, which is they come in and say,
clean house,
nope,
yeah.
I'm getting rid of all of these people and putting in our own. And I didn't feel that was appropriate. We have great people here, and let's find out if it's people is an issue. Is it policy that's an issue? And those are conversations we had early on. So you know, the ebbs and flows of leadership changing when you have 18 city departments and you have a $333 million budget. But what I can tell you is we measure employee engagement. It's never been higher from the last time we measured it. We'll see what it is this fall. And you know, we just do the best that we can. But I'm never going to get – I don't care what field I'm in. I'm never going to disparage or be upset with somebody who finds an opportunity that's better for their family.
When my producer left to go to work for the county, I'm like, I understand. You know, good for you.
Correct.
That's great. I do want to let you know, though, just to be clear.
We're investing in people. I mean, that's the way I see it. I mean, and meaning if they get greater, if Alex Smith gets a great up as he did at UWF with more responsibility, then we should be rooting people on. And so we all have that selfish, you know, moment, a couple milliseconds of saying, oh, man, what's this going to mean for me,
right,
in terms of filling a job or something like that. At the end of the day, you know, we should, as a city and as an administration, be proud when people are leaving and getting greater opportunity. Whether that's pay, whether that's
it's a compliment. I mean,
job,
it really is. It's a compliment. Yeah. And by the way, just to be clear, you don't want me as the city administrator. I will not be applying, and no matter what you offer, I won't take the job.
Okay, we'll do it.
I do not have those skills. I would not be good at it. Hey, we just I want to get to the lightning round, but I did want to give you the 10-second update on Doge is they came, they got their questions answered. We don't really know anything yet. They're going to get back to us, but the expectation is all good, right, at this point?
Exactly. Lots of questions on very issues that we've been in the media and months. I know our team, we probably gave, several interviews from all these different departments and everything. We provided everything they asked for, and we're cordial. Everybody was professional, and we'll see what happens from here.
Very good. All right. We always like to end with, I have so many other things I wanted to get to. We just didn't get to it all today. We always like to end with a lightning round. Does Mayor D.C. Reeves carry hand out business cards? Do you like to get them?
Oh man, that's a complex topic. I normally don't, but not it's usually because I just don't remember to put you in my pocket when I'm out of the thing. It's not like a
are you a phone tapper? Are you just a I'll text you that kind of thing?
I'll just give out my number, or I like getting cards, just especially at some of these events where you're getting lots of people coming up and all that, and it helps us kind of keep that in order. So I like getting them. I'm not the best at having them on me to give them out.
Does the mayor own a landline?
Oh, no. I mean, I honestly, I don't know that I'd admit it to you if I did. I mean, you can't be a millennial mayor till you have a landline. I guess I've got one at the office.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I wouldn't even know where to start, dude. Does Verizon do it? Does AT&T do it? I don't even
Who do
know.
You call? I'd be embarrassed to admit the fact they take away my millennial card. Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. All right. Other than keys, money, credit cards, the absolute essentials of life, your phone, is there anything you carry in your pocket routinely?
No, I'm a minimalist. So it's cell phone, wallet, keys. That's it. I mean, unless there's sunglasses maybe in a jacket, then I leave them in the jacket in my closet for 2 days, and they were in the inside pocket. So
no pocket knife, no gummy bears, anything like that. Just plain minimalist.
Yeah, no cigarettes, no.
All right, fair
like
enough. Mayor D.C. Reeves, always a pleasure, sir. Look forward to talking again next week. As always, thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Always. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Flashlights, check. Camp stove, check. Candids, check. Ice chests, check.
Say, what you doing there, neighbor? Going camping?
Not exactly, but it is hurricane season. We've already had a few power outages just with thunderstorms, so I'm getting prepared.
I see. Getting ready for a little indoor camping.
Yeah, you know how it is.
Actually, I don't. We have natural gas from Pensacola Energy at our house, so when the power is out, we still cook up a storm and take hot showers. And since we added the whole house generator, we just keep on like nothing happened.
Must be nice.
It is. Pensacola Energy made it really easy, and we got some great rebates.
How can I get in on that?
Forget indoor camping and get comfortable with natural gas. To learn more about earning up to $3,000 in rebates, call Pensacola Energy at 850-436-5050 or visit PensacolaEnergy.com. We keep on.
Okay, so it's going to be about $1,200.
Wait, did you even figure out what was wrong?
Well, my guy said something about the flux capacitor. Oh, and we had some extra parts.
Extra parts? That's a no for me.
Don't settle for vague answers and mystery charges. Head to Garage 850 on Sun Valley Drive just off Michigan Avenue. Rusty and his ASE certified crew actually explain what's going on and get it done right. Specials online now at garage850.com.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us tomorrow at 9 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough roads to get up to 88.
Roads? Well, we're going, we don't need roads.
Good morning, 5:59 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Former Joe Biden aide Ian Sams is scheduled to testify today in a Republican-led investigation into Biden's mental fitness and use of an auto pen while he was in office. Sams previously agreed to a closed-door interview, although it's unclear whether he plans to plead the fifth. Republicans argue Biden's cognitive decline and use of an auto pen could invalidate certain pardons.
I feel like whenever we say the phrase auto pen, it ought to be auto-tuned. Auto pen is how we ought to say it every time.
We'll see if I can get that kind of technology.
Make it happen. Yeah. My vocal impression is maybe not as good.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Red states versus blue states. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Lawmakers in Texas and California could vote today on congressional redistricting. The one in Texas goes before the state Senate today after the House passed it, with GOP State Rep Todd Hunter saying,
"Each of these newly drawn districts now trend Republican in political performance."
Many Texas Democrats have left the state for 2 weeks blocking that vote. Now Fox's Garrett Tenney reports from the Capitol in Austin.
Democrats are optimistic about their chances to win an injunction against the new map, though, given that every decade since 1965, when the Voting Rights Act went into effect, federal courts have found at least one of Texas's maps to be in violation of it. Republicans, though, are adamant that they are on solid legal ground and that Democrats are simply grasping at straws.
Now in California, it's Republicans trying to block the Democratic redistricting, though the state Supreme Court refused to intervene.
I do believe people want to be empowered, and we want the power of the people, not the politicians.
GOP State Senator Tony Strickland, the plan the legislature is poised to approve would ask voters in a special election in November to bypass an independent redistricting commission and okay new maps that could give Democrats five more House seats in the 2026 elections. The U.S. and European allies keep working on a possible security guarantee for Ukraine. As Vice President Vance tells Fox, they are committed to
bring a 3.5-year, very brutal conflict to a stop.
But Russia insists it has to be involved in any potential security guarantee, and it went on the attack again overnight, launching missiles and more than 500 drones into Ukraine, days after Trump meetings with Russian leader Vladimir Putin and Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky, who condemned the new Russian onslaught, saying it's as if nothing is changing at all. Hurricane Aaron still moving out to sea, but affecting the East Coast.
50 miles per hour just offshore of the coastal areas of North Carolina.
That's Fox meteorologist Janice Dean. The Outer Banks is also getting high surf. There are beach closings all across the East Coast. America's listening to Fox News.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm, and Chuck McDowell, definitely not an attorney. This is Chuck. If someone talked you into buying something really silly and you want to get out of that silly little thing, my advice, get the facts. Call me and I'll send you our timeshare exit kit absolutely free. Inside, you'll learn how timeshare works and all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley now for your free exit info kit. 800-785-1155. That's 800-785-1155.
Millions of Americans take medicine like Ozempic and Zepbound. Many of them are overpaying by thousands of dollars a year. These GLP-1 medications for diabetes, weight loss, and more may not always be covered by your insurance, but GoodRx can help. GoodRx helps you save every month on prescriptions at over 70,000 pharmacies nationwide. Best of all, it's free to use. Check GoodRx to save on GLP-1s. Just go to GoodRx.com/GLP. That's GoodRx.com/GLP. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance, including Medicare and other federal and state-funded programs.
That controversial congressional redistricting in Texas not the only issue lawmakers are focused on in their special session.
27 young girls died July 4th when floodwaters swept through Camp Mystic along the Guadalupe River. The girls' parents testifying before a Texas Senate committee Wednesday, demanding change. Blake Bonner's 8-year-old daughter Lila was one of the victims.
They did exactly what they were told to do that morning, stay in their cabins. Our daughters paid the ultimate price for their obedience to a plan that was destined to fail.
A new Texas camp safety bill that leadership promises to pass will incorporate feedback from parents to include mandating new training and to remove summer camp cabins from floodplains. Jeff Manosso, Fox News.
Now another controversial issue in Texas, a federal judge's ruling related to religion in school.
Texas cannot require public schools in Houston, Austin, and certain other districts to display the Ten Commandments in every classroom. This comes after a group of families sought a preliminary injunction or a pause against that law set to go into effect September 1st. They say that requirement violates the First Amendment's protections for the separation of church and state and the right to free religious exercise. Courts have blocked similar recent laws in Louisiana and Arkansas. The widening legal fight is expected to eventually go before the Supreme Court. Angelo Bavaro, Fox News.
On Wall Street, stock futures are down more than 100 points for the Dow. In baseball, another Yankee power surge.
There it goes! See ya!
Austin Wells hit 2 home runs, so did Trent Grisham, as New York hit 5 in a 6-4 win over Tampa Bay on yesterday after hitting 9 homers, giving the Yankees 14 in 2 games, tying a major league record. New York's won 5 straight games. Philadelphia beat Seattle, the Phillies' 4th win in a row, the Mariners' 5th consecutive loss. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
Good morning, 6:05 at News Radio 92.3 75. Right now, partly cloudy skies in Pensacola. Starting out this morning, let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with PJ.
Traffic's brought to you by ECUA. ECUA Bulk Waste Service is now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. Learn more at ecua.fl.gov. I-10 and 110 are both looking good right now. If you're on US 98 east and westbound through Navarre and Gulf Breeze, that is flowing smoothly. No delays on Olive or Burgess. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. Pensacola police have arrested the man that they say was following young women around downtown Pensacola on a sexual battery charge. That suspect was identified as 17-year-old Tyree Dorch. PPD says the teen entered a woman's vehicle without her consent as she was parked outside of a restaurant on Garden Street last Wednesday. He reportedly wanted her to drive him to another location, but she refused and got out of the vehicle. Police say Dorch then fled the scene. PPD released a photo yesterday in an attempt to identify him. He was arrested later that afternoon. It'll be 35 years in prison for a former Army Reserve soldier that molested a 6-year-old in Santa Rosa County back in 2021. 41-year-old William Moe was sentenced this week after being convicted of lewd or lascivious molestation. The incident reportedly happened in Milton, November of 2021. Moe at the time was stationed with an Army Reserve unit in Texas, but was traveling to the area when that incident happened. A federal jury has convicted a Crestview couple on charges related to the distribution of fentanyl.